Begin the current daf, Masech Tismayit Kot and Daf Yitches. Begin the second line down with the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues with a story related to the opinion of Shmuel that was mentioned in the previous daf. A very important halachic decision that Shmuel said, which is often quoted in the laws of mourning, is halachic Gedivra HaMekob Oval. Because there was a machlekes regarding, there was two arenas that we're speaking about, regarding Cholamoyit and regarding Avelis in this parak, that there is a prohibition of taking a haircut. The machlekes was regarding cutting one's nails. And even the halacha, there was a question, what's the halacha going to be regarding Chol HaMoed, regarding mourning? And that Shmuel said, yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, which is the lenient interpretation, by Chol HaMoed and by mourning. Chol HaMoed, as we already established with prior opinions, and also with mourning, because the halacha is like the lenient interpretation regarding mourning, which one's allowed to cut the nails. And that's where our Gemara begins. Pinchas, who was a Chodim HaShmuel, the brother of the Master Shmuel, is to be Milsa. Something happened to him that it caused him to become a mourner. So Shmuel, keeping in mind his opinion that one is allowed to cut his nails as a mourner, so he came, Lemishal Taimim, and he came to inquire by his brother and to talk to him emotionally about what had happened, about his loss. Chazinu l'tufri to have an efficient. So he saw his fingernails were very, fingernails very long. Amalei said to him, "Amai l'shaklu? Why didn't you cut your nails?" So his brother Pinchas responded to him. He says, "Ibi the day have. If it would have happened with him, in other words, if you would be a mourner, mim mezalzlis bekulehai. Do you think you'd be so callous and so careless with the mourning that you would cut your nails?" So the Gemara tells us, "Havi, this was like the pasuk says in Kehelis, kishkaga, like an error." It came out from the ruler, which means when the tzaddik says something, even though it's like a mistake, he doesn't mean to curse his brother, but he's like saying in that way, you'd think if you'd be a mourner, and the isra b'milsa b'shmul, and something of mourning happened to Shmuel, that he lost a close relative, and he became a mourner. So his brother Pinchas came, l'mishal taminei, to go inquire regarding how he was doing. So Shmuel, again, according to his opinion, shaklinu l'tufrei, cut his nails, chavtinu la'apen, he threw it, because of great anger in the face of his brother, which, as Rashi points out, most definitely he gathered them back after he threw them, because whoever throws away the fingernails is considered wicked, as we'll see later on. But Amalei said to him, "Leslach bris krusolus vasaim, don't you hold to the concept that there is a covenant that's made for the lips?" As the Gemara is going to bring the source for this, that the Amr Rabbi Yochanan says, "Menayin shebris krusulis v'sem." How do you know that there's a covenant that's cut for the lips? Meaning, what the lips say, it comes fulfilled, and you have to be careful with the words that you use. Telling me that if I was a mourner, Shemayk says a pasuk in Bereishis, "Be'yoyim Avram on the Adam." Avram said to the youths, to the lads, "Shvu lechem poyim achamar, remain over here with the donkey." Vaniv anar, me and the young one, meaning Yitzchak, who's going to do the akedah, nail chadkei. We're going to go till there. The neshtachav, we're going to bow down. And the shuv alechem, will come back to you. Now, although he had in mind that he's going to slaughter his son, but you see, just in the fact that he said those words, "Vistaye milsa," and that was successful, the Hadar Tarvayu, that they both came back, which Tosafot points out, what's the proof from Bris Kruso when that's a Midah Tova, which is Merubah, who said that the same thing would be for bad, and therefore Tosafot says, rather, the Gemara should have brought the concept of Lo'il al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan. Person should just not open up his words for the bad, like it says, Shimon Devar Hashem Ketzin Yisdaim, because they said, like, oh, we're like Sedaim, and then they said, oh, and they called them the ministers of Sedaim. But be that as it may, he told them that, like, be careful, because of that is a mourner. He became because of what his brother had said. Now, some may nay, so okay, going back to this halacha of Shmuel, which he says one is allowed to cut their nails on as a mourner, the yad in, that the halacha would be, the fingernails would be permitted to cut because it's disgusting, but the regalai, but one's toes, no one sees it and it's not so repulsive when they grow long, and one would not be able to cut it. However, Amar Avonim Bar Tachlif, says, "L'didime farshle menei Shmuel." To me, it was explained from the Master Shmuel, "Loishno diyad, loishno diregel." Doesn't make a difference if it's fingernails or it's toenails. It's permitted to cut them as a mourner. But Amar Rav Chiya Bar Asher Marav, he qualifies, says, "Uveganoistad up." But regarding the special scissors that one uses, or like Tais means from the Aruch, it's like the nail clipper or something that's a tool specifically designed for cutting the nails, that would be also, that would be forbidden to be used. It would have to be done in an abnormal way. Amar Shem Ba'aba says, "Havakim the Kamid Rabbi Yochanan b'Midrash b'Chol HaMoed." He said, "I was standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis HaMedrash in Chol HaMoed, v'shekling l'tufri b'shine, and he cut off his fingernails with his teeth, as some people do, v'zerkina, and he threw it. Now, Shema Minat Las says you could learn from that story three things. Shema Minat, first of all, you can infer from that Mutl Litol Tzipernayim B'Chol HaShemayit. You're allowed to cut your fingernails on Chol HaShemayit. Now, it was done in an abnormal way, which would relate back to the halacha that we said you can't do it in normal ways. He bit it off with his teeth. Shema Minat, we also confer from there that there's nothing repulsive about biting off your fingernails. People say, oh, that's disgusting, biting off your... No, you see, because this is what Rabbi Yechanan did. And the Shema Minat, the third thing you confer, the Mutl Zarkan, that one is permitted to throw away. What are you going to do with the fingernails? You're allowed to throw it away. Says the Gemara in the last one, is that really so? That we brought it in because we wanted to show the halacha of cutting the nails on Chol HaShemayit. But are you really allowed to throw it away? There's three different types of categories regarding people when they cut their fingernails. Hakoivron Tzadik. If someone buries them, he's considered righteous. Sarfin, if he burns it, going beyond let alone where it'll never get, if you bury it, it could come out and get undug. If you burn it, Chassid, you consider a pious person. Zarkan, if you throw it, you consider a Rasha. So how could he have thrown it? Says the Gemara, no, time in mind. What's the reason why you're throwing fingernails if you consider a wicked person? Shemetavra alein isha ubaro, maybe a pregnant woman's going to walk over the fingernails, and that's considered dangerous of a topple and she can miscarry because of this walking on the fingernails, which is very much related to Adam and Chava when they were covered with this same covering of like what the fingernail is, and because of the chet of Chava, which is the same thing for having the childbirth pains and the whole pregnancy, so therefore it could cause it with a bad omen to walk on these fingernails, so it could cause it to miscarry. But a woman in the Beis Medrash is not found. It's only men that are sitting there learning. Therefore, it's not a problem to throw the fingernails. Now, v'chitim, if you're going to say, but yeah, zim mechanshi lehu, but sometimes they'll gather, the janitor is going to come and clean up the floor, b'shal lavroi, he's going to throw it outside, and then a pregnant woman might walk over it. That's not a problem either, because kibin de ishtani, once it changed from the location where it originally was when it was taken off, ishtani has already changed and it's not harmful anymore, and therefore it could even be walked over by a pregnant woman. Therefore, Rabbi Yechon was allowed to throw the fingernails on the floor in the Beis HaMedrash. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas that Amar Behuda Merav, he says, Zug bo mechamsen lefnei Rebbe. There was a pair of people that came from this place, chamsen, in front of Rebbe. However, Mazutra, he actually says masni, he actually teaches from a brisa, not from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that Zug bo mechamsen lefnei Rebbe, the same story that there was a pair of individuals that came in front of Rebbe from chamsen, ubikshu min tzipernaim, and they asked from him this question about cutting one's fingernails during the days of mourning. As we said before, from Shul, and he permitted them to cut their fingernails. Now, but says either the Brice or the Merav, he says, v'imbikshu memenu safa, had they asked him regarding the mustache, meaning, in other words, it was obvious to me, whoever's saying this over, that I saw, had they asked him, can you cut your mustache, that hitlem, he would have permitted them, because, as Rashi points out, there's no problem about baltashches, which is the prohibition about shaving off the hairs, where because some hold that you have to do it in the abnormal way, which would be with a razor. Be that as it may, there wouldn't be any problem about destroying the hairs, which are in five different places by one's jaw. So he would have permitted for them to cut the mustache on Chol HaShemayit. Now Shmulam, his version is, no, af bikshu min safa. No, they actually did. Not that they would, it was obvious he would have permitted. No, they actually asked from him about cutting the mustache, v'hitlam, and he actually did permit not just the fingernails, but also the mustache. Now, Amar vital safra mishmei dejav is the girsa, that safa, the mustache is mizavis lezavis, is from one end of the mouth to the other end. You'll have to cut that off, because it gets in the way of the eating and the drinking, and it becomes disgusting, as the Gemara qualifies. Amar Abami says, ubisaf ha-makabes. We're talking about the part of the mustache that gets in the way of one's mouth when one is eating. And Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he says, l'didi, for me, that I'm very delicate, and I'm someone that's more finicky. So by me, every part of the mustache is kisaf ha-makabes. Dummily, it's considered for me like it's part of the mustache that gets in the way, because again, I'm delicate, and therefore I'd be allowed to cut that on Chol HaShemayit. Another teaching from Amar Vital Safra Mishmei Derav is Pare Shoyi B'mei Moshe, because there's more than one power. The Pharaoh was the name of, like, Caesar is just the head of their country of Egypt. So the Pharaoh that was in the days of Moshe Benu, Hu Amma, he himself was an Amma tall, which is around 2 feet. Uzikene Amma, his beard was an Amma long. Ufer Amash Tokoi, and his male member was Amma Vezeres, was more than his height, which is an Amma, was actually an Amma and a half Amma. This fulfills what it says the passing in Daniel, if he really is two an Amma tall, which is just like around 2 feet tall, like a dwarf, it should never say the passing in Daniel, Ushvala Noshim, the low of people, Yikim Alai, will lord over them, which again, this is in the literal, and then there's obviously the metaphysical and the deeper concepts, which is the lowly person that's going to dominate over the greater people. Another teacher, Vamar Vital Safi Mishmein Dedav, he says, Parish Hayi B'mei Moshe, the part that was in the days of Moshe, B'nam Gushi Hayi. He was an Amgushi. Shemek says in the pasuk, "In the Yitzei Ma'im of Begum, behold, he was going out to the waters." Now, the Machlekes Masechta Shabbos of Ayin Hamad Alav. What is Amgushi? It's either a Charashi, which is someone that practices Kishuv, which is some type of a sorcery, and that's why he went out to the river, which is where the powers are, or it means Gidufei, a blasphemer. So why is he going out to the waters to say, "Oh, Liyah Eiri, this is my river and I made it"? So two different interpretations and what the source is from the water. Either that he practiced sorcery, or that he was a blasphemer about God. Can I look at the Mishnah? The first half of the Mishnah was discussing individuals that, as the title of our parak, Ve'il Megalchen, these individuals that are allowed to cut their hair on Chol HaShemayim. And then we said Ve'il Mechabzim Melayim. And the second category the Mishnah spoke about, well, these are the individuals that are allowed to do laundry, which they were the same as the first category, many of them. Which, if you come from overseas, etc., they all had, there were many that were there from the first category. Now, additionally, Amr Abasi, Amr Yechon, it says, someone else, Mishain El Cholik Echad, someone that only has one article of clothing, he's allowed to launder it on Chol HaShemayim, which must be him, he asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, these individuals are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, and it went through the list, someone that comes from overseas, etc., which tells us, Hani'in, those in the list, yes, someone who only has one article of clothing, which is not mentioned in the case of the Mishnah, obviously he's not allowed to. How can you say that he would also be allowed to do laundry? So Malay, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, Azbalach, I'm going to explain to you. Mas Nitin, our Mishnah that said, Eilu Mechapsin, that these individuals could do laundry, is Avagav de Islay Treu Metanfi, is Toman that even if he has two articles of clothing and they got filthy, still, since you have more than one, even though they're both filthy, no, you can't do laundry unless you came from overseas, etc. But someone only has one article of clothing, according to everyone, would be permitted. Shalach Rav Yitzchak B'Yakob B'Giyur Mishmid Rav Yechner. Further along about certain exceptions about who's allowed to do laundry, he says, Klei Pishtan, regarding linen garments, which is not so difficult to do laundry with. So again, the element of the prohibition about Melacha Chol HaMoed, because the Tircha, it's not so difficult. So Mutl Chapsim Chol HaShemayim. So he said in the name of Yechner that one is permitted to launder those garments on Chol HaShemayim. But Masav Rav, Rav asked from our Mishnah, from a different part of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Mitpaches HaYadayim, which are the hand towels that one wipes his hands on, and that's permitted to launder because they get disgusted quickly, as Tosafos elsewhere says. That's a similar reason why children's clothing, you're allowed to. It's not something that should have been done before Chol HaMoed. These things are constantly getting dirty. So to mitpaches is getin to mitbeis hasaparim, which either means of the svarim or of the saparim, which are the barbers. But those, the cloths of the barbers are made out of linen. Those are things from those which were mentioned that, oh, they could be laundered on Chol HaShemayim. Now, the inference is that Hani'in, these, yes, but other clay pishtun, because you're talking about the barber's cloth, which is linen, and you're picking specifically that. But it sounds like generic linen garments, loy, are not allowed to. That contradicts the halacha that was just said, that as long as it's linen, it could be laundered on Chol HaShemayim. So my Abaye said to him, no, masnit nafil de sharmini. In other words, our Mishnah that was talking about the cloth that the barber uses is even if it's not from linen, even if it's other types of species like wool, even though it does take a lot of effort of laundering it, you're allowed to wash it because, again, these are things that are constantly getting dirty. But regarding other vessels of other types, that you're not allowed to. But regarding linen, that you're allowed to wash, even not just that of the barbers, that could be of any type of article as long as it's made out of linen. Now, Omar Bahidaya, he says, L'didi Chazili, says, I saw myself, Yamashal Tveria, by the Sea of Tveria, the Mafkilo Maskili, that they took out buckets, the money kisana of linen garments, meaning the women were, they were doing laundry of linen, so you see that that's permitted to be done. Which Maskil Abaya, Abaya asked on him, he says, Man Lemelin, who's to tell us the B'tzen Chacham Avdi that this was done with the consent of the sages? Dilma Shalei B'tzen Chacham Avdi, maybe this was done without the consent of the sages, because people doing this, you're going to bring a raya that that's mutter? It's not a raya. Not definitive from that that testimony that would mean that one is allowed to launder linen garments on Chol HaShemayim. Let me take a look at the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme regarding what's permitted to be done on Chol HaShemayim. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu Kaisim B'mayim. The following things, although writing is not permitted on Chol HaShemayim, but these things are permitted, which Tosafos says that it would seem that all these things are Dav HaAvad. and which is the heter of the opening of a Masechta that we said that if it's a loss, you're allowed to, because either the giver might die, the witnesses might die, the court might die, they might go overseas. So because of circumstances that we're going to lose an opportunity, which is what Dover of it is, you're allowed to write the following things on Chalosha Mait. They are Kiddushi Nashim, which you write in a document, Harei Ad Mekudeshesli, which is one of the three ways a woman, Isha Niknes, a woman can be acquired, because of Beshtar or Bibi, with a document. You write in a document the words of engagement, Harei Ad Mekudeshesli, and you give it to her. So you can write that document on Chalosha Mait, Vigitin, a divorce document, Beshebarin, a receipt, Daitiki, which is a document of a command of a dying person known as a shchimra, which the word da tehei koi is daitaki, which is letting the person know that this is what is going to go to this person. Matana, a gift, upruzbalin, which is that the lender writes in a document that he's not going to have the shmiti or cancel the loan, and hence the shmiti is not going to cancel it, which is known as a pruzbal, that Hill was misakin. Igreshum, letters of evaluation, which the courts evaluated this field for a certain amount. And then you give to the brothers accordingly that amount when they're dividing. And the igris mazen, letters of sustenance, which writes that this person accepted to sustain his stepdaughter, his wife's daughter, a certain amount of food. Shtar chalitza miunin, documents of chalitza, which is when the brother does from his late brother's widow, when he died without any children, to say that we're not going to consummate this relationship. And miunin is when there's a minor that was married that wants to refuse the marriage, she could just walk out, called a miun. And v'shtari birudin, and documents of selection, which is when the courts select this portion goes to this person, this portion goes to that person. And gesiris bezdin, the decrees of the courts when they make a psak din, a certain decision. And v'igris shalrashus, and letters of government, which is when there's a command and sustaining from the government, that all these things can be written on Chalosh Hamayit. Now, the Gemara brings a halacha that's going to relate right back to the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel says, Mutal Aris Isha b'Chalosh Hamayit. A person is allowed to get engaged to a woman on Chalosh Hamayit. Why? Shemi kedmen acher. Because if he doesn't get engaged to her, someone else might get to her first. He's going to lose the opportunity of getting engaged to this woman. Someone else will get engaged to her. So therefore, he's allowed to get engaged on Chalosh Hamayit. Says Gemara, Leim Misayeli. Let's say our Mishnah supports Shmuel. Because what did we say in the Mishnah? We said, Ve'elu kaisim amayid. These are things you could write on Chalosh Hamayit. And the first thing was Kiddushin Nashim, the engagement of women. My love isn't the case, as we had explained in the Mishnah, is Shtari Kiddushin Mamish, literally a document of engagement which you write Hariat Mukadeshesli. So you see that, and that's the engagement. So obviously you can get engaged on Chalosh Hamayit, because if you're not getting engaged, how are you allowed to write that? Says Gemara Laino, not necessarily. It could be Shtari Psikta, it could be documents of making up the amount of monies that each party is giving to the other one, which is Ukedrav Gidl Omer Rav, that the person is writing what we know as the Tanoim, which is from the word Tanai, which is the stipulations of the agreements for the marriage, that's written in the document. And that could be written in Chalosh Hamayit, again, because that's the Davar of it, because of like all the things in the Mishnah, which about the commitments we want to have in writing. Damer Gidl Omer Rav, he says, Kamata Nois LeBintcha, how much are you going to give for your son, for the Chasen? Kach v'kach, this and this amount. And he says to the other one, to the Mechutin, come out to Nois and Lebitra, how much are you going to give for your daughter? He says, kach v'kach, this is this. So Amdu v'kitchu, they get up and they do the Kiddushin, Kanu, that's an automatic acquisition. Hein hein advar ma'nikim amir b'amir, those are things that are acquired just with one's word, without having to do an actual kinyan. And that Tanayim, those stipulations, is what we write down for, to remember that, to recall that. That, we could say, you could write down on Chalosh Hamayit, but no one ever said that one could actually get engaged on Chalosh Hamayit. Maybe that's only for the Tanaim, which is not the actual Kiddushin, which actually there are many who do a Tanaim by the Vart, and they don't do a Kiddushin until much later by the Chasna. So it's not necessarily an indicator from our Mishnah that you're writing Kiddushin Noshim, that means the actual Kiddushin. It could be the Tanaim, the stipulations for how much each one's committing to support the Chasna Kala, and not necessarily that you could do a Kiddushin on Chalosh Hamayit. That says Gemara Lema Sayyele. Let's support this from a Mishnah we had on the Chesem Abayz. Mishnah said, "Ein noisin noshim b'moyd." Not get married. There's two stages in a marriage. We do them both at a chasna, but there's kedushin, which is the harit mekadesh esli with the ring, and then there's the actual nisuin, which is the yichurum. It's different opinions, but they used to be actually like it's called a yermet amitvach. It was usually a year after the kedushin was actually the nisuin. So the Mishnah told us, Nafchesim Abayis, Enosh and Noshim Amoyed, you cannot get married to a woman on Chalosh Hamayit. Le Basulos, Vela Amonis, not if she's a virgin, not if she's a widow. Vela Miyabim, neither could you either do Yibum. And the reason is Nisha Simcha Ilai. And we explained over there what's wrong having joy, because im arvin simcha b'simcha, the simcha should be only of yom tov b'chalash amayid and not of getting married. But one thing it sounds like, that married you can't get. Hala aris, which is lower than that, it's not such a intermingling of joy to get engaged. Sure, that would be permitted. So you see, like Shmuel says, no. To the contrary, I don't have to tell you that you cannot get engaged in Chol Shemayit. Meaning, I don't have to tell you that to get engaged, you're not even doing any mitzvah by getting engaged. All it's doing actually just makes her forbidden to all of the men. But she's not even permitted yet to her groom, to her chasen. So for sure, you can't do that on Chol Shemayit. But even to get married, which you're doing a mitzvah, which you're engaging in, the first mitzvah, the Torah, privilege of you being fruitful and multiplying, which a condition in that is getting married, that's part and parcel of that mitzvah. Even that is us is going to be forbidden. But it doesn't indicate that getting engaged is married. Maybe to the contrary. Maybe that for sure would be forbidden. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another raya. The Tan b'Shmuel, see clearly, the Braisa and the Yeshiva of Shmuel, that they said, Ma'arsin, and this is what we're saying over here from Shmuel, so in his Yeshiva, the Torah Braisa, that you could get engaged, on Chol HaShemayid, Aval HaKansin, you just cannot get married. And Ve'enoisin Sudis Erisin, you can't even make a party for the engagement. You can't do either Yibum, Nesha Simchila, because it's a Jewish Mamanah. Obviously, from that price, you see clearly, like Shmuel, that one is allowed to get engaged on Chol HaShemayit. Just can't make a party and you can't get married. Says Gemara, so Shmuel's reasoning, his rationale was, why are we learning this? Seemingly, it should be Ema Avram Simcha V'Simcha, as it sounds like from the Gemara. But he said no, because someone else might come there first. We want to make sure that the person doesn't lose the opportunity. So we let him get engaged on Chol HaShemayit. Does Shmuel hold up such a concept? But to Amar Behudim Shmuel, Shmuel himself was quoted as saying, every single day, Baskal Yoitzes Vaymeres, the heavenly voice comes out and says, every single day, Bas Pleini Lepleini, the daughter of that man is for that man. So the Pleini Lepleini, that field is for that man. So it's a Baskal. So what are you afraid of? Someone else is going to come first. It's preordained. It's divine. Who's going to get married to who? So why are we allowing certain dispensations? Because we're afraid someone else might come first. Which Tosafot points out, he wonders, why didn't the Gemara answer, as it says in the beginning of Saita, and Sanhedrin Achav Bezim and Aleph, that it depends if it's for the first Zug or the second Zug. Meaning for the first Zivug, is it the first one that is getting married, or the second one, where there's different interpretations, what that actually means. But Taisa wonders why we couldn't have said that depends. One is a baskal, and one actually would depend on the person's mazel or his meisim. But Bivet Azmei, the Gemara gives an answer and says, Ella, you're right. What's going to happen is, it is preordained who someone's supposed to get married to. But someone else might beat him to it, even though it's divinely for him, with mercy, with davening. Like we find the story with Rava. The Shamalahu Gavra, he overheard a certain person, the Boyer Achmi of Amma, that was beseeching mercy from Hashem and saying like this, "Tis damali planisa, let it be that I have a meeting, get a shidduch date with that girl that she becomes my wife." So Malay Rava said them, "Lay to Boyer Achmi hachi, don't daven like this. Ichazilach, if she's appropriate for you, leyazu benach, she won't be lost from you. V'iloyin, if she's not fit for you, chafart." And there's two different gersoyes over here. In the Gersois we have in our Gemara, it's Chafart Bashem. You're going to be denying Hashem in His faithfulness. Because you're going to say, davening doesn't help. I davened for this girl and Hashem didn't give her to me. In other words, you see, davening is not successful. Don't daven like that because, again, if she's meant for you, you're going to come. It's going to be yours, if not. Other Gersois, Rashi Ksaviyad brings, is actually without that line. It's actually Chafart Ba. You're actually going to be denying her because you're going to actually regret having married her because she's not your basheret. She's not the girl you're supposed to marry, but you beseeched mercy and therefore she became your wife. So don't daven like this. Now, Basar Hachi Shama Dekama, after this, he subsequently heard him saying that if I don't get married to her, either that she should die, or he should die in front of her, meaning before she gets married to someone else, he's like, let me die. Like this black and white, all or nothing type of a person. Or she should die in front of him. Meaning, I don't want to see her get married to someone else and then I'm going to be in pain. So either I should die and I won't see her or she should die. So Rabbi said to him, Lava Minloch, didn't I tell you that this is not how you're supposed to daven? Now, Sarash explains, so what does it mean, Shemiket Men Ba'achar? Interesting interpretation. The reason why you're allowed to get engaged on Chol HaShemayit, when it means someone else might beat him to her with rachamim, it means not that he's even going to get married to her. Because if she's meant for him, he's going to get her. But that the person is going to beseech mercy that she should die because he's so upset that he can't get engaged to her, and then she might actually die because of his prayer. Therefore, get engaged so that he's like, okay, she's off the table, and he's not going to daven that he should get her, and if not, she should die or he should die. That's the purpose of the dispensation of getting engaged to her on Chodesh Amoed. Now, Amar Rav Meshem Reb Reuven ben Itzter Bili. He says, Minat Torah, Minavim, Minakstum, from Tanakh, from the Torah, from the Sifri of the right of the prophets and from the writings, Mashem Ish Leish. That's from Hashem that the woman is to the man. Minat Torah. Let's say, what do we find in the Torah? It says in Bereishis, it says, "V'yan Lavan L'Besuel V'yemru." That Lavan L'Besuel spoke up and they said to Eliezer when he was coming for Rivka for Yitzchak, they said, "Mashem Yatzadava." It's obviously from Hashem. They realized the miracle that happened that led to this divine shidduch. We see it's from Hashem. Min Navim. They said, "What do you find from the prophets?" It's in the Shaiftim. It says, "Va'av V'ima LeYadu." His father and his mother didn't know. Ki Hashem, he, that's from Hashem that Shimshon should get married to Delilah. Again, that you see it's from Hashem. And Min Aksuvim. They said, "What do you find from the writings?" Like it says in Sefer Mishlei, "Bayis V'Hain." A house and wealth are Nachlas Avos. Our inheritance of the fathers, Umei Hashem, but from Hashem, as Isha Masakeles is an intelligent woman, that's from Hashem. The Shidduch is, like we see in Tanakh, is from Hashem. Now, another teaching from V'Amar Av, Meshom Reuven ben Atzerubili, V'Amar Av, some say it was actually B'Masnitit, and it was told in the Braisa, not from Rav, that Amar Av Reuven ben Atzerubili says, Ein Adam Nechshe B'Davar, the person is not ever under suspicion for having committed a sin, unless he actually committed it, and that's why he's being suspected. Now, if he didn't do the whole thing he's being suspected for, he did some of it. If he didn't do some of it, he was thinking in his heart about doing it. And if he wasn't thinking in his heart to do it, he saw other people doing it and he was happy. Now, Masa Rabbi Yaakov asked from a Pasuk Melachim Beis that says, that the Jewish people, they covered over things ashalikim which were not like this, Allah Shem Alekehim, on Hashem their God. That they were suspecting Hashem for things that weren't. So you see that even Hashem could be suspected of something that he had not done. So it's Gemara Nahasim Lahachasudavid. There they were doing it just to anger Hashem. They knew it wasn't the case. We're talking about when the person is really suspected of something, then it must be there was some when there's smoke, there's fire. So Gemara Tashma, let's bring another raya from Pasuk in Tehillim. Says V'kandu l'Moshe b'machna, that they were envious of Moshe in the camp. La'aron kadosh Hashem taharon, the Holy One of Hashem. What does it mean they were makana to Moshe? So Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak comes and says Malamis comes to teach that every single Jew kinei le'ishtoi mi Moshe, which is the halachic process known as kinei and stira by the Saita, where if he suspects his wife having infidelity with another man, he warns her, stay away from that man. And if she's secluded, then there's the whole process of the Saita. So every person was suspecting Moshe Rabbeinu of something with their wives. They did kinei. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, how could he be suspected? I thought it's only if there's some smoke there, and it was not the case by Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Gemara, Hasam Mishum Sin Hudavah. There's also because they hated Moshe. That's why they did it. But of course, they didn't really suspect him. Says Gemara, Tashma. Let's bring another raya. Amar Rabbi Yisi, he said, Yehi Chelki, let my portion be in Misha Chesh Nais Bedavar, with those who are suspected of something. They ain't but really that's not really true. And Amar Papi says actually the D. I actually had this, he says, Chajdan, they suspected me, V'lahavibi, and there was no truth to that. I thought if someone suspected, there must be some truth. It's like, Malikash, not difficult. Because Reb Yesi is talking about Bakala the Pasuk. He's talking about that the rumor stopped. So that could be that there was no smoke to that, there was no fire that was causing that smoke. It didn't continue the rumor. Ha Bakala Delay Pasuk. If we're talking about a rumor that's not stopping, there must be something there by the person as far as it is, and that's what we're saying, that there must be some truth. Says the Gemara, and v'kol d'lay pasuk, when we're saying that it's a rumor that doesn't stop, ad kama, how long does it have to continue to say that there must be some fire over there? So my Abaye says, Amali, my mother told me, dumi d'masa, the suspicion in the town is yom palga. If it continued for a day and a half, there must be some truth to that. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this and says, v'hani mili, when did we say this? Is the lepasik beni beni? Is if that day and a half there was no interruption in that rumor at all? But if it had stopped in between and only resumed after that, less lamba, then we're not concerned that there's necessarily some truth to that rumor. And moreover, and also if it stopped in between, we didn't say that there's no necessarily substance to what's going on. El lepasik mach masira, only because the rumors didn't stop because of fear of like reprisal of the one that they were talking about. Of a pasuk machmasir, but let's say the rumors had stopped because there was a fear of speaking about it, then lie, that wouldn't prove that there's no substance. There still might be some substance to it. Moreover, qualifies the Gemara, below your mind, we didn't say that if it does stop, that there's no substance to it, el d'lehavad d'rnavad, only if it didn't go back and start barking again, meaning that if the rumors didn't come back, avol hadr'navad, but if, let's say, after it stopped, it started all over again, then lie, again, that doesn't mean that there's no substance to it. Now, v'loy marn, but we didn't say this all, el d'lesli ayivim, only if that person who the rumors are about doesn't have any enemies. Lesli ayivim, but if he has enemies, then ayivim hudaf kula kala, then could just be his enemies that are spreading the rumors and the lies, and again, even if it didn't stop for a day and a half, doesn't necessarily prove and indicate that there is some truth to the rumors about that person.